Another outstanding symposia series is over. Each one of us, I'm sure, found something of the last week enjoyable and memorable. As far as I am concerned, I continue to take advantage of the free registration opportunity to attend the symposia as a faculty. I graduated from this institution in 1991. And between graduation and joining the faculty in 2001, I was driving here every year, paying registrations, driving wintry, snowy, and sometimes icy roads from New Jersey, trying to find the least expensive way to stay during the week, as one year I stayed at President Harrison's home when he was still a pastor at Zion. I brought Dr. Al Culver, by the way, with me to Fort Wayne for the first time so that he may have a taste of the seminary. We both slept on the couch in the living room, not together, but Harrison's home. Why did I come back here year after year? Why do so many graduates still come back for symposia? Obviously, the reasons are different from person to person. But for me, it was a necessary time for refreshment. I just needed to come back here. I wanted to be here to be away for a moment from the place where Lutherans were a minority, both without and within, and to join the company of brothers in the common confession of our Lord. I simply needed to be comforted. Wasn't one of the comforting moments for this year an evening chapel on Wednesday with Scholar Cantorum? We sang Philip Nicolai's chorale, O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. The preacher of the evening emphasized stanza 5, where we sang, For Christ goes with us all the way, today, tomorrow, every day. His love is never ending. What a comfort it was to hear the announcement that Christ is with us, not only today, not only tomorrow, but every day, all the way to our last breath. Why is he with us all the way? Because his love is never ending. In today's gospel, we heard the account of the call of the 12 from the Gospel of Mark. The context is totally different from this chorale, but as I studied the text, that stanza could not but linger in my ears again and again. Unlike Matthew and Luke, Mark gives us the primary reason for Jesus' call to the 12, and this makes another purpose of the call of the 12 secondary, that is to preach and to drive out demons. What is then primary? A primary thing for Mark is this. Jesus called the 12 to himself in order that they may be with him. Now, why is this so important and comforting? Because we quite often consider the office of the Holy Ministry as our service. We revised our Master of Divinity curriculum around what pastors do, which is not a bad move, of course, because we didn't want our class to be a class of download of information in abstraction. But our curriculum in the classroom is never separated from the chapel, where the Lord continues to give his gifts. Well, Dr. Luther also reminded us in his Galatian lectures that the pastoral ministry of pastors belong to active righteousness as any Christian vocation and not passive. But this active righteousness is possible only when people first received the passive righteousness. Like any other Christians, pastors are in need of comfort. Pastors need to be comforted. So from our text, we may observe at least three things which pastors and future pastors may be comforted. First, Mark uses the word to create or to make as the word for the appointment of the 12. Jesus created the 12, epoiesen dodeka. This evokes how Yahweh had his 12 tribes as his people. Jesus now creates his 12 through whom he builds his church. Just as when Yahweh chose the 12 tribes of Israel, he did it not because they were more in number than any other people, but because the Lord loved them. So Jesus now creates his 12, not because they had some credentials and qualifications on their own, but because Jesus loved them. To the end, says John's Gospel. We know from Lucan account that before Jesus chose the 12, he spent all night in the mountain to pray. The selection was that important. In our text, Mark emphasizes that Jesus called them because they are the ones whom Jesus himself wanted. Jesus created the 12, epoies and dodeca. All of these give incredible comfort to pastors. You are or will be called to Jesus himself because you are loved by Jesus and because Jesus himself wanted you. Second, we read in Mark that the way they were with Jesus throughout his ministry was by being recipients of the Lord's instruction. Accompanying Jesus, they observed how Jesus healed the sick, preached the good news, and drove out demons. But being with Jesus was not merely an on-the-job training, because Jesus taught doctrine. Jesus revealed who he was. He gave himself to them. This is what he does today at the seminary, by sending the faculty. As often as I have a chance to hear my colleagues' lectures, I just marvel at the depth of their gospel understanding in their own field. Perhaps here lies an answer to President Rast's plea that we must demonstrate why the residential pastoral program is better than online courses. A serious and ongoing instruction benefits students when they are constantly with the faculty to interact face to face. But third and more importantly, Mark stresses the faithfulness of the Lord despite unfaithfulness and sinfulness of the apostles. We know that Jesus called the 12 to himself so that they may be with him. But what happened later, especially toward the end of the gospel? All the 12 left Jesus alone at the most crucial moment of Jesus' crucifixion. They all fled. But despite their betrayal, Jesus still comes. Jesus came to them in Galilee. He gave his peace and still sent them. Now, John's Gospel gives us A little bit more on this. In John chapter 16, it says that Jesus already knew that the disciples would be scattered. But then what did Jesus do right after that in chapter 17? Jesus prayed for them. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. So, isn't it comforting to know that the primary reason for Jesus to call the 12 to himself was so that they may be with Jesus? Pastors can be confident that Jesus goes with them all the way, today, tomorrow, every day, because his love is never ending. The people of God continue to rejoice in Philip Nicolai's chorale, but pastors are given this comfort in a special way. And these two, people's joy and pastors' joy, do never contradict against each other. So brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice, because Christ goes with us all the way. And along the way, he forgives your sins. His promise is most true and certain. This we are given from Jesus. Amen.